Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger, today with my fabulous co-host.
Hey, guys. This is Chris McCool, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro.
So today we're going to be talking about progesterone and does progesterone cause you to gain weight? And we're going to be discussing all things female hormones. So the counterpart to progesterone is estrogen. So that will come up organically with this topic because it's all about the balance of those hormones when it comes to weight fluctuations and things like that. So oftentimes, you know, one of the triggers or reasons like why we investigate our hormones is because we have unexplained weight gain. And it's always from that deeper rooted issue. As you know, we are not doctors. So this is all information that comes from Dr. Brighton's information in Beyond the Pill. It's an amazing book. You should read it. If you also get any of her newsletters and things, she's a wealth of knowledge when it comes to holistic women's health and educating women on how to know when, you know, to pick up on signs when things aren't right and things are off and how to correct those things in a natural way. So, you know, you might experience, it's easy to blame hormones for everything like mood swings, food cravings, extra pounds, but those weight fluctuations are totally normal and healthy, and truly unexplained weight gain can point to a hormone imbalance. And so that's what your body's way of asking for extra help. So we are going to kind of go into what progesterone does in your body and how sometimes that can, too little or too high of progesterone can affect our body weight. Do you have anything to add to that, Chris, before we get started?
I just want to say kudos to the coaches and athletes that are female, because I feel like it's a whole other aspect of prep when you have to deal with cycling hormones like this. So I don't know. I just feel like we should get a little props, a little round of applause for dealing with those fluctuations, because I know it can be super frustrating, but hopefully some of the insight in the podcast will be helpful.
Yes. So your cycle, the follicular phase, and I always use that mnemonic device, follicular is kind of like what I say in my head. And that's when your menstrual cycle starts. So the flow of the period, that's your follicular phase. And that is when estrogen spikes to shed your uterine lining. And then the luteal phase is when progesterone spikes. And that's around progesterone's your sex hormone that's produced in the ovaries, and it follows ovulation. So that can prepare your body for a possible pregnancy, and it plays a major role in protecting your brain, your bones, your metabolism, your mood, your libido, and your thyroid. So progesterone and estrogen are both equally important, and it's important that they go in these phases. So why don't you start with how, do you want to kind of go over what the telltale signs of like too low progesterone and too high of progesterone would be?
Sure, yeah. Okay. So too little progesterone, a lot of times women will experience anxiety, insomnia, so problems with getting to sleep, a lot of emotional upset, or you might find yourself crying a lot. You'll have irregular cycle or typically shorter menstrual cycles. And infertility is another one of too little progesterone. And the balance between progesterone and estrogen is where you'll find, you know, healthy patterns within your biology, or you'll find some indicators that something's off. So a lot of times if you have, I don't know if it works in conjunction with that. If you have too much progesterone, your body will read that it has too little estrogen. Did you find that to be true when you're looking at the information, Amy.
So with it usually happens that you have low progesterone and then either regular estrogen for that phase of the cycle or too high. And it's that ratio that is determines whether or not you have estrogen dominance. So let's go into too much estrogen, what that looks like. So that would be a heavy and painful period. You could have fibroids, breast tenderness, cysts on your ovaries. You could have fibrocystic breasts. And then also you'll just have difficulty losing weight, especially in the hips, butt, and thighs. And some people, it's been known to have gallbladder problems. Too little estrogen, some indicators there would be to look out for being extra emotional, having memory problems, period brain, some people might say.
my gosh.
Short cycle, depression, anxiety, lethargy. You could experience night sweats and hot flashes. Bladder infections are common. And then the estrogen in your body really helps like the health of your skin and the fullness of your skin. So when you have too little estrogen, you signs of skin damage are more pronounced. So like age spots and wrinkles can show up a little bit more. You're going to tend to have achy joints and unfortunately droopy breasts because the estrogen does help the girls be a little bit more perky. So those are some things to kind of look for. And then when we talk about the balance there, so it's checks and balances. Everything needs to go in a wave in order for your body to be in its natural rhythm. So I do want to point out that, again, there are ways that, you know, obviously these are just like signs that could be anything. So you always want to check with your doctor or get blood work. So one of the panels that I like is from Life Extension, and it's basically the basic female hormone panel. So if you feel like something's off and you may want to get that checked out, it includes your DHEA, it includes progesterone, estradiol, testosterone free and total. And I think it was like $75. It's really easy. On Life Extension, you just go on the website, put it in your cart, you print out the order, and you just can take it to any LabCorp and they can draw it. But the caveat there is progesterone's the one that we kind of have to look to see if there's an imbalance, because that one, so you want to go into get your lab work when progesterone's the highest, so that when your body would naturally spike progesterone the highest, that's when you want to get it tested to get that snapshot, rather than like right when you start your cycle. Estrogen is playing the role there. So you want to count like days. So the start of your cycle is day one of your period, and then you count to days 19 from there. And that's between there and like days, it depends on how short or how long your cycle is, but like days 19 through even 28 could be okay, as that's in the luteal phase when progesterone's the highest. So I know for myself, like I'm going in today actually to get this Life Extension thing, and I'm going to be advocating for myself and bringing that to my OBGYN next week. So I, you know, I'm incorporating my doctor to evaluate the results. I do know that Life Extension does a great job of explaining things if they are out of range. They have people that work for them that you can call and ask about your results. But ultimately, you know, knowledge is power, and going to see your doctor to see if you need something prescribed or to address it is always a good idea. Any thoughts there, Chris?
And you recommend like a certain time to get your hormones checked when you're within like an improvement season or a cutting phase? Like, when would you suggest, like if people are suspecting something is off and maybe they're in like a cutting phase, like what should they be aware of if they're going to go get blood work done?
Oh yeah, that's a really good point. So I am in my improvement season, and I would not recommend, when you're in a deficit, your body's under a lot of stress and your sex hormones are going to be affected. Thyroid hormone is going to be affected. Cortisol is going to be higher. So I wouldn't do it while you're leaning out. And then I would wait at least 6 to 8 weeks after a contest. So you've had some recovery time. It's just because probably any competitor, you know, unless they're on PEDs, they're going to have their sex hormones affected by that prep. So good thing to bring up there for sure.
Yeah.
Before we dive a little bit deeper, I just wanted to go into some of the, so just so we are clear, there's the steroid hormones, pregnenolone, which is like the mama hormone. And that one, basically is the maker of all of the other hormones.
It is.
And it's how you get pregnant with that. And then it creates estrogen, you've got progesterone, testosterone, cortisol, DHEA. Those are all your steroid hormones. And then your non-steroid hormones are like thyroid, insulin, leptin, and oxytocin. Oxytocin is a cool one. A lot of breastfeeding mothers get the effects of that. It's a very calming effect and soothing. And you can also get that from a hug or petting your dog or an orgasm. So let's go into leptin, your satiety hormone, and ghrelin, your hunger hormone, and which of those kind of dictates, because we wanted to address, does progesterone cause weight gain? So what are some of the things that, you know, are released, or what is estrogen in charge of that could maybe cause fat gain? And then same with progesterone.
Well, estrogen, to my understanding, helps with actually decreasing your appetite. Like you have less of a ghrelin output, where progesterone, actually you may find that your cravings have increased, your appetite increases, because it affects more ghrelin output. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Yes, I feel like I'm passing the test. These hormones, man, they really make my brain work.
No, you did good. And then estrogen promotes storing energy as fat, so primarily in your breasts and hips. And then progesterone allows our bodies to metabolize that fat and burn it for energy. So estrogen kind of dictates aldosterone. We've talked about how when somebody's estrogen dominant, they look super watery. Aldosterone is, you know, our water retention hormone that regulates there. And then estrogen, the adrenal hormones are, you know, intertwined there, and it helps us retain salt and water. Well, progesterone is actually a natural diuretic, and it allows water loss and decreasing in swelling. So, in each of these balances, you know, progesterone doesn't cause weight loss. Instead, it just reduces the effects that other hormones have on weight gain, if that makes sense. So when progesterone and estrogen work together, all these factors will balance out, and they'll promote a healthy and fertile weight regulation. So let's talk about when progesterone drops too low in these checks and balances. That's where weight gain can sneak in. And we can kind of talk about that. So the reasons why progesterone can cause weight gain. Do you want to go from there?
Sure. Yeah. So the first thing that can, that's what I was going for. You knew it. Your progesterone can affect your insulin. And so just a quick recap, what insulin does is it actually helps balance out your blood sugars. So when you ingest food, it will increase blood sugars within your blood, and the insulin comes there to either help to help shuttle that blood sugars either for storage or to utilize for energy. So when a mother is pregnant, progesterone is one of those things that will change the mother's sensitivity to insulin. So you'll have more blood sugar circulating through your body because it's trying to make that available to the fetus. But if you are not pregnant, and you have high progesterone, you still have a lot of that elevated blood sugar, which can in turn actually cause your body to convert more of that for storage as fat, because it doesn't have to shuttle that nutrient to a needing fetus. So too high progesterone, think high insulin. So that's the effect it can have in that. And it makes a lot of sense. That's why, like, in your luteal phase, I know a lot of times around my ovulation, I get more cravings, I get more hungry, and that's just kind of, it can be relaying like a spike in your progesterone around that time. Like Amy was talking about getting your blood work done in those last couple days of your cycle.
Yeah.
And so if you're,
oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I just wanted to throw in this anecdotally before I forget. So I've noticed, like, when we talk about, when you're like, man, I can't understand, like, I just wanted to eat and eat, and then we kind of like looked at your tracker and you're like, oh, I was ovulating, there we go. Like, it happened, like,
yeah, track your period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, track your period.
Yeah, it's always ovulation. Like, yeah, it's always one day, and I think the body's so cool in that it will give you signs. It's just a matter of knowing how to interpret what's going on and not beating yourself up along the way. I think people get so upset, like, oh, I was just so hungry, I couldn't, like, I don't understand what's going on. But I really think, like, investing in educating yourself about your own physique and your hormones will help you not feel so, like, hard on yourself. So I'm glad you mentioned that. And if you have too low progesterone, so getting back to how that's affecting insulin, you'll have lower insulin. So that can also result in excess estrogen. So again, your progesterone and estrogen levels are off, and you can actually develop, you can experience some insulin resistance. So yeah, it plays a huge role in how your body utilizes nutrients.
Yeah. And then the balance of progesterone can also affect the thyroid hormone, which we all know is a critical factor in metabolism, especially when it comes to burning fat. So when progesterone levels are too low compared to your estrogen, hence estrogen dominance, then your body just produces too much of the protein called thyroid binding globulin. And this protein prevents the normal function of the thyroid hormones. And so this can be a really confusing source of the weight gain, as the thyroid gland may still produce the proper amount of thyroid hormone in a thyroid test. So that might appear normal. However, the low progesterone can prevent our body from utilizing those thyroid hormones, and we can experience the symptoms of hypothyroidism, such as weight gain. So, all right, moving on to...
I found that really interesting, too.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's good. So moving on to the hormone imbalances and the increased appetite. So we kind of did a little bit of a dive into what that means. So estrogen, they can have... excess progesterone can drive weight gain. High estrogen levels can produce a reduced appetite. So we kind of already talked about that. And then progesterone stimulates our appetite. Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about in regards to that?
No, I think that pretty much covers it.
Okay. So those are some of the things that are related to progesterone and estrogen. And then if we want to kind of go the whole gamut of what common hormone imbalances that can occur, and some of those things that I had talked about in the Life Extension basic panel. So let's talk about if you have too much cortisol, what that would look like. And then I'll let you take too little cortisol. So too much, you're going to feel extremely wired and tired. You're going to store fat in your belly, and your brain is going to feel like it's going a million miles an hour, but the body is absolutely exhausted. So.
Yeah. And too little cortisol, you'll maybe experience what they call adrenal fatigue, or there'll be not a great output of cortisol from your adrenal glands. Your HPA axis will have some dysregulation. the body can feel exhausted and weakened, especially with the immune system. You can experience chronic headaches, especially in the morning time. That's when cortisol is supposed to spike and help wake you up as melatonin decreases. You can have difficulty waking up, again, for the same reason, or an inability to heal as quickly.
Yeah, and then I wanted to go into if you have too little thyroid hormone. This one would not be covered on that panel that I was talking about with a basic female, but you can get that one, a full comprehensive thyroid and many other more, also the sex hormones as well, on the life extension, the weight loss panel, the metabolic weight loss panel.
Mm-hmm.
These are not shameless plugs. I get no credit for sending people to them, but it's about a $250 test. It measures I believe it measures pretty much everything like basic that you would want to know in all facets of your different systems. So some things to look out for to maybe think about getting your thyroid tested would be irregular periods, infertility, fatigue, dry skin, hair loss, brain fog. And then do you want to go into the testosterone, what that would look like? Too much?
Absolutely. Yeah, so too much testosterone, you may experience some oily skin or acne, a little bit shorter temper, and hair growth in unwanted places. So those are some signs of too much, too little testosterone. You can have a loss of muscle mass, so you're not holding on to your muscle tissue as effectively, low libido, depression, and again, like mood, like effects of your mood, a lot of times like sadness. So those are a couple things just to look out for. I think these are great kind of like checkpoints to self-assess. Some of them like overlap, so it can be a little bit confusing, but just like take your time and assess. And again, then the next step I think is like doing that comprehensive blood work. I think that's great.
Yeah, and I just think that unexplained weight gain is certainly a symptom that your body is going to signal to a deeper issue. And so just taking this information that we've given you is just a tool to help you play an advocate for yourself, in that you can bring an informed discussion to your provider. I feel like that's the key thing, is working with your provider, and having, you know, a basic educated starting place so that they can help you along the way with that. So your weight is just one data point. It isn't all that's used in determining your health, obviously. And I heard too that the obstetrics, the national, you know, board or whatever, they're one of their vital signs for females now, they've determined, is the menstrual cycle. So along with just like what your blood pressure should be and things like that, for females, one of your vital signs is your cycle. So just a gentle reminder that when your cycle is doing different things, that's your body's way of screaming out to you, whether it be like a painful period or, you know, menstrual migraine. Your body is trying to tell you that something is not right. And so just, you know, we're encouraging you to advocate for yourself, do it in the proper manner. But these are some, hopefully some ways that you can help yourself identify and become more educated about what your body is trying to tell you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So do you
have
go ahead. We can't see each other.
No, I was just going to say, as I was like doing a lot of this research, I was thinking about a lot of like competitors and my own experience. And I always think that, you know, it's most important to make sure that I think sometimes we look at like, oh, I'm not losing weight, so it may be something off with my hormones. And I think it's just important to reiterate, we're looking at like people who are having trouble losing weight, their calories have already, you know, we've taken that step of trying to get them on a lower end and there's still no progress, or they're doing plenty of activity. I don't think it should be like the first thing thing that you go do when you feel like your body's not progressing. But I always think that it's healthy. And I know clients, you know, get upset. They're like, oh, I'm retaining a lot of, you know, water right now because I'm in such and such point in my cycle. And they're like healthy signs. Like, it's a good thing. It's a good sign that your body is showing some signs of like fluctuation within your menstrual cycle. But again, it's the ones that are like really hard to deal with, like the painful periods. And, you know your body, you know, when something just doesn't seem right. And a lot of times it can be frustrating seeking out medical help. But again, like Amy said, being your own advocate, I think, is a great thing, and it's good service to yourself.
Absolutely. So with that, we're going to kind of wrap up this episode. I wanted to let all of our listeners know that next week I have the special privilege of interviewing Alyssa from ProTan, and she is going to help everyone learn about doing skin prep and getting the best competition tan that you can possibly get. So she's going to be giving us a lot of great nuggets. I know personally, I have had clients specifically that she's tailored a specific regimen for their skin prep, which is so unicorn. And it's so what we're all about with the unicorn prep, like everyone's individual. Yeah. So even your tanning regimen can be specialized for you and personalized. So be looking for that. Be sure to subscribe. You can find us on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast. And we always appreciate whenever you tag us in your story and tell us that you're listening or what takeaways that you found. It just makes our day. We are an unfunded podcast and it just really keeps us going. So I wanted to say thank you. We hit 200,000 downloads this last week. So we appreciate you all so much. And you can also find us on Instagram at Glam Girl Bikini. And if you would like to apply for the team, you can go to glamgirlbikini.com and hit the Get Started button. And we would love to set up a phone consultation with you to see if it is the right fit. So with that, this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger, signing off with my fabulous co-host.
And this is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro. Thanks for listening, guys.